Man, I Love a Quick Weekend Getaway sale? The Grab the Camera Because It's Family Vacation Time sale? How about just the spring sale? That about sums it up.
Now through April 1st, save up to 30% on your favorite destinations. Book now only at Hotels.com, finding you the perfect place at the perfect price.
Drive a late model Subaru? Could have a problem if you have a certain option.
The potential problem is in more than 47,000 Subarus with remote starters. The company says if you drop the key fob, it can malfunction and your car's engine might start on its own. The recall affects some models of the legacy Outback, Impreza, and XV Crosstrek cars, model years ranging from 2010 to 2013. There haven't been any reported injuries, but if the car starts while it's parked in the garage, carbon monoxide buildup could be dangerous.
ABC's Scott Goldberg. Officials at that big cat sanctuary in Southern California are still trying to figure out why an intern was mauled to death yesterday. First of all, why was she in the cage? That's what Diana Hansen's father wants to know.
How she ever got inside the cage and why she would be inside the cage, because I thought she made it real clear that they wouldn't let anybody. She was very disappointed because she was looking for that, but she said they don't let anybody in the cage except the owner.
And they're still investigating. Why the surge in shark sightings along the East Coast? Scientists still don't know.
Shark sightings are not uncommon for southern Florida beaches, but the migration from Florida to North Carolina usually starts and ends sooner, well before Florida's prime beach season. Not this year. Researchers at Florida Atlantic University, who track the animals, say they've now counted some 15,000 sharks, most less than 200 yards from shore.
ABC's John Mueller. This is ABC News.
At AdvanceAutoParts.com, we believe in getting you the parts you need fast, but no shenanigans. What are shenanigans? Those annoying shipping and handling charges you get stuck with when shopping online. We think handling is for sports cars. And shipping? Well, when you spend $75 or more at AdvanceAutoParts.com, shipping is 100% free. 0% shenanigans. AdvanceAutoParts.com.
Advance Auto Parts.
See site for details.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Reach the Moon and Oceanic Arts and Galleries on Newport's historic bayfront, featuring beautiful gift items, jewelry, sculpture, Kinetic Art, art glass. You'll find cards for special occasions. Reach the Moon and Oceanic Arts, a couple of great galleries at 434 Southwest Bay Boulevard. Reach the Moon, KNPT forecast, mostly cloudy, with a 50% chance of scattered showers today, high 50. Southwest wind, 5 to 10 miles an hour, light this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated showers in the evening, low 34. North wind, 5 to 10 miles an hour, partly cloudy, and 49 tomorrow.
This time of year, great time to clean up around the house.
Kenny and Rob, Thompson Sanitary Service.
We can come do it, or you can do it yourself.
We have drop boxes in 10, 20, and 30-yard sizes, but we also have smaller sizes.
Roll carts and tubs.
I'm not going to bore you with the size of the tub.
You bore me anyway, Rob.
Hey, thanks a lot. You that want to haul your own garbage, we have a transfer station recycling center open 6 days
a week, 9 to 5.
North of Newport by the state police.
If any questions, visit our website, thompsonsanitary.com, or find us on Facebook.
Or you can call our office, Lisa, Diane, or Josie. They'll be more than happy to answer your questions.
It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. Thanks for joining us today. I am Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. And every week we talk about news events and we talk about partner agencies related to Lincoln County government. On the program today, Mindy Baxter. Mindy, should we call you the administrator of Teen Justice Panels, fearless leader?
How about coordinator for now?
That sounds perfect. Mindy's with us today. We're going to learn all about Teen Justice Panels and how she's restarting that program and making it better than it was before, I would have to say. Mm-hmm. I think there's a new philosophy. Very excited to hear more about that. If you're just joining us, do remember that at 9th, on Thursdays, we do Lincoln County Connections, and these programs are also archived online for about a week. They set on the Quinnebay Communications websites. You may be listening to us from KBCH in Lincoln City or KWDP Walport or here in Newport and Toledo on KNPT. You can stream the program from their websites, but then we archive them on Lincoln County's website. So it gives you an opportunity to follow up if that's something that you'd like to do. But without further ado, let's start talking to Mindy Baxter. Thanks for coming on the program today, Mindy.
Thanks, Casey.
Well, Mindy, your history goes back quite a ways. Back when we called teen justice panels teen courts. Let's talk about that. How long did you do it?
I did it for 15 years. We started the program actually on a grant from Oregon Department of Transportation, which may not make sense to your listeners, but at the time, Lincoln County had a serious, serious problem with minors in possession of alcohol and alcohol use in general. And so ODOT had an interest in keeping kids away from cars while using alcohol. That's
so
where
we were
the
having a lot more accidents and
we were
more situations then?
We were, and just way more use of alcohol by minors. And so the Partnership Against Alcohol and Drug Abuse, which is the nonprofit right now that's restarting the teen justice panel, the director of the PODA at that time, PODA's been around for 20 years, found out about a grant from ODOT and discovered what teen courts were as a diversion for alcohol use with minors and other offenses, and applied for that grant, received the grant. We started a teen, I started the teen court program along with PODA and juvenile department. After 3 years when the grant ran out, then the county commissioners in their wisdom took the teen court program over as a county program.
And can I ask you, Mindy, the Newport Task Force in 1994, was that something that was driving, seeking the grants? I mean, was there just an increased awareness that we've got to do something in our communities?
That was an increased awareness. And part of that task force was to talk about the juvenile laws related to MIPs and figure out if there could be a comprehensive approach to the MIP problem. And law enforcement, all of the law enforcement agencies at the time were represented in that task force, as well as juvenile and treatment and prevention folks.
So you had been working and essentially created the first teen court?
I did. They were new in the state of Oregon. There were only eight here at the time. They started pretty much in Texas. And so what I did was take a look at our community here and look at different models of the teen court process and figure out which one matched our needs here in our community. And so then I took that and gathered all kinds of information and started it. It was, and from that time, this was in 1994.
Yeah.
We've had, during the whole, the time of the teen court program, I had to look at it, see what was working, what wasn't, and kind of tweak it as we went along.
Let me ask you something. I, you know, probably heard my father tell me a story that when he got pulled over, they just had to pour out their beer, for example, and were allowed to go on. What was happening, you know, into the 90s? Like you said, you know, the rates were up. There were more offenses. Was there a, you know, kind of a punitive shift in philosophy, or what came first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken or the egg for us saying, wait a second, I mean, this is getting out of hand. I'm kind
I don't
curious.
Know, Casey. there was the problem of minor possession of alcohol. Law enforcement at that time handled it really differently amongst the different agencies because there wasn't a real understanding of the law. They had different priorities. It was just different. And some, unfortunately, some officers did pour out the beer and just, you know, give the kid a ride home or whatever.
Right.
So through
that could
human
be complete
nature,
myth, you know, obviously, too. So
it could be, but... and, you know, it was inconsistent as well, unfortunately, about who the kid was that was, you know, in possession of alcohol.
Yeah.
Was it a cheerleader? Was it a football player? Was it somebody that's maybe has different successes?
It was.
And so the message for kids was, you know, who cares? Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and do it.
Did the overall, you know, has the overall point, though, changed, Mindy, in terms of, you know, giving these youth another opportunity, you know, a chance? Has that always been the underlying philosophy, a part of it anyways?
It has. Well, what happened was you mentioned the task force, and the task force law enforcement agencies came together and said, okay, we need a consistent response to MIPs. And they came up with a protocol that everybody followed, and kids were getting cited. It was zero tolerance. And so, you know, officers would go to a party and would cite everybody there if they were in possession. And so what happened then was there was a huge influx of MIP citations because all of the officers were doing it the same way. And the task force did make it focus more on the offense and taking care of it that way. The result of that was there was a huge influx of MIP citations in juvenile department. Now all of a sudden they had all these citations. They had no way to deal with all of them, because they had to they have to prioritize offenses, as you know, as far as severity, and spend their time on the more serious offenses. What are they going to do? And at that time, they had no recourse and would just send a letter home. Your son or daughter has been cited for an MIP. You know, don't let them do it again, sort of thing. And so the teen court really grew out of that. This was a way to have some. Something happen for the youth and their family rather than letting it go.
We're talking to Mindy Baxter. If you're just joining us, our conversation is about teen justice panels. Mindy Baxter, former teen court coordinator, and we'll learn more about what she's doing and how you can get involved. Stay with us, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Is your office supply store like Hall's Office Supply in Lincoln City? Does your office supply store carry art supplies like Hall's? Does your office supply store help you with your copy needs like Hall's? Does your office supply store look up forms and inkjets you need like Hall's Office Supply? One final question, does your office supply store deliver to your home or business anywhere from Pacific City to Glen Eden Beach? Hall's Office Supply of Lincoln City really does it all. That's Hall's.
For almost 10 years, I've been a lineman for the power company. I know that service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. Our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a challenge I gladly take on because my country needs me.
If you were born ready, learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Baa, baa, black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections on KBCH, KWDP, and KNPT.
Welcome back to the program. On Connections today, Mindy Baxter. She is the coordinator for teen justice panels. Probably recognize her from Teen Court, which is a similar philosophy. I guess, Mindy, where we left the last conversation was you were talking about, you know, back how in the 90s we dealt with, say, MIPs. Kind of make maybe draw us through that timeline and a little evolution, you know, as teen court comes into the picture full force.
With the teen court, it's called a diversion program. There's many kinds of diversion programs. But what that basically means is it gives the youth that's received a citation a chance to just take care of their offense in an informal way rather than going to see the juvenile court judge. It was a really successful program because parents believed in the program and the youth really got something out of it. For example, with an MIP, if a youth were to go to the real, we'll call it, juvenile court system, there's a fine that they pay. It's, I'm not sure what it is right now. It's hundreds of dollars. And by law, the judge takes their driving privilege, whether they have the privilege or not, for up to a year, depending on their age. And there's many factors related to that. You know, there are repercussions that people don't think about, including having to get an SR-22 when they get their license back. That's like $300 a month.
Really expensive.
It's really, really expensive. The youth also would lose their privileges at school because of the school district policy that they lose, I think it's 3 weeks of their sport or activity. Juvenile court. The diversion program gives the youth an opportunity to avoid all that, to avoid getting a record, which is huge as far as getting scholarships or whatever they want to do, jobs.
Yeah.
And they learn something through the diversion. They learn way more than just being punished, losing their license, paying a fine. That's about all they learn in the real system.
Yeah.
In the other system, they learn a whole lot more. About their family, about maybe even feelings that have been hurt, trust that's been broken, things about alcohol use, the dangers of that, accidents, a whole variety of things. Now, if the youth fails in a diversion program or they do it again, then they do go through the regular court. And so that's something that they keep in mind, you know.
Yeah,
go through the program.
So, you know, typically somebody who commits these offenses, it's not like they're necessarily getting counseling or something to help them work through it. And in a way, teen justice panels kind of provide that peer feedback.
They do.
It's great.
The teen court was peer run. It was like a real court where there was a jury of teenager volunteers. We called it a sentence. The jury was able to be creative in the sentence, and so you mentioned treatment. Mm-hmm. One thing that they could recommend for part of the sentence was go to treatment or go for an evaluation, not treatment so much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of flexibility and creativity on the part of the jurors in order to make it a positive experience rather than a punishment sort of thing.
We're talking to Mindy Baxter. Stay with us in just a moment. We'll kind of dive into teen justice panels, how you can get involved, more details. So thanks for joining us on Connections. We'll be right back.
Ozspring, and with it, Garden Moss. Today, Bill's Ace Hardware has Scott's Turf Builder with Moss Control on sale. Cover 5,000 square feet with just one bag. With your instant reward at Mills Ace Hardware, it's just $12.99. Mills also has Moss Out Granules, 20-pound bag, $7.99 after your instant reward. Instant rewards are just that, instant at the time you buy an item in Mills Ace Hardware. No paperwork, no mailing, no waiting for the reward. It's now, it's instant at Mills Ace Hardware, Lincoln City.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Oregon National Guard, aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Don't wait for your tax refund. Get your rack pre-fund at Rent-A-Center. Right now, you're pre-approved to buy any name brand flat screen TV, computer, appliance, or furniture set up to $2,500. Take it home today and pay it off in 90 days, same as cash, when your tax refund arrives. Everyone's pre-approved for the rack pre-fund.
Rental purchase transaction. See store for details. Pre-approved means no credit check or credit required. Final amount of pre-fund eligibility based on available income. 90 days same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
Lincoln County Connections is back on KNPT, KBCH, and KWDP.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. Mindy Baxter, she is the Teen Justice Panel Coordinator. So Mindy, let's talk about how folks can get involved, and it sounds like you're pretty fully underway. Your last update with Jim Rhyme or Jim Rhyme of Lincoln Community Dispute Resolution, talking about how you're working the two sort of nonprofits together and getting some really good results.
We are. We haven't actually had a panel yet. We're ready to go, and Juvenile Department is ready to give us our first referral. So I can't say how it's going yet, but I can definitely say how it's going to go. But I do want to step back just a second, because the teen court had to be eliminated from the county budget in 2009 because of budget reductions. And that left a huge gaping hole for the community and the kids. Mm-hmm. And I keep calling them kids because that's what they prefer to be called rather than youth.
So is that right?
I'm not being demeaning with them.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, it left a hole for the kids without a diversion program when a diversion just didn't exist. And the families, it was a successful program. So,
and Mindy, was that just fully like a general fund type funding?
It was.
So it was it necessarily something that was incorporated into the juvenile budget, or it kind of was like a standalone?
It was sort of a hybrid that way.
Okay.
Yeah. It started as a standalone. It did. And then it was part of the juvenile department budget.
Okay.
And so, when the budget cuts came, it came out of the juvenile.
Well, so for you, you know, being really, really the lead on that for so long, and it must have been very difficult. As you have sort of reinvented the model, is the model a little bit different?
The model's way different. One of my hats that I wear is I'm a mediator. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, well, maybe I didn't. Lincoln Community Dispute Resolution is the group that I work with. It's a nonprofit as well. We work on a grant from the state. Mm-hmm. And I've been involved with that for, 20 years, I guess, also. And I'm a mediator. And I believe in dispute resolution, problem solving, consensus building, teamwork as the way to conduct business pretty much in our lives, personally and professionally and in all ways. And so with developing a new teen court, those concepts I felt needed to be incorporated into the traditional juvenile justice teen court model.
Yeah.
And so the justice panels are different. They look way different than the court. It's not held in the courthouse. There isn't a judge. There isn't a jury. There isn't anybody standing up and being punished, so to speak, or getting a sentence.
Yeah.
It actually takes place around a table. We still have some youth volunteers that take part, and they've been trained in problem solving and consensus and working in a group. We have at the panel is the youth, that the kid that's committed the offense, as well as their parent or guardian as a support. They're equal people, you know, parties in the panel. There is an adult advisor, and that person's job is to be a support for the kid. And when they're done with their panel and are working on their contract, the advisor is a person that the kid can go to and say, hey, I'm having trouble. What am I supposed to do with this apology or whatever? The panels are facilitated by someone from our dispute resolution group. Those people are trained in meeting facilitation, how to keep things going and help people, you know, talk about their interests. Also at the table, and a hugely important person, is the victim of the crime. And, you know, it's easy to think about that person if the crime, so to speak, is a shoplifting. Then we know who the victim is. It's the store. And possibly the person on the panel would be a manager or someone from the store. When you think about MIP alcohol, it's not so easy to see who is the victim. Really, the victim in that case can be the kid themselves. It can be the parent. It's hard to think this through, but those would be the victims. Maybe the coach, because they've, you know, they've lost their ability to do their,
you know, unknowingly.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so in that case, there would be somebody else being representing the victim or being the victim.
But either way, there's that accountability component that's just so much more dynamic. You know, when I watch you come in and with Jim and I've talked about Lincoln Community Dispute Resolution, you know, what a wonderful thing it really is. And it's just, you know, I really hope culturally we, you know, get more awareness that here's an approach to manage, you know, our disputes with each other and communication issues. I think it's just a wonderful direction that it's going.
It is. And avoiding conflicts, mm-hmm. you know, being proactive so that those don't even arise.
Yeah.
You know, with the Teen Justice Panel, you mentioned accountability. And when you think about the traditional legal system, it's sort of like whodunit, you know, what laws mm-hmm. were broken, who did it, how are we yeah. going to punish the person and hold them accountable? You can imagine somebody being stood up and facing, you know, their offense and holding that person accountable. With the in dispute resolution and juvenile justice, accountability has a different meaning. Accountability in that case is being accountable rather than being held accountable. And what that means is looking at your actions, understanding the effect your actions have had on somebody else or something else or the community or yourself, figuring out what to do about it, how can you fix the problem, how can you repair the harm that's been done, and then actually doing it. That's accountability that we're talking about with the Teen Justice Panels.
So, Mindy, we've kind of come, you know, to the end of the program. I'm just wondering to let folks know, are you looking for any volunteers at any level at this time?
Absolutely.
And what, real quickly, do you want folks to do?
I would like them to call and talk to us. Actually, they'd be talking to me about what part they could play.
Okay.
And I'm talking about adults to be advisors, maybe to learn how to be a facilitator. And I also am looking for youth volunteers that would like to come in and be on the panel.
Okay. I also know there's a great overview that you've written about this on PATA.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be another place for folks to start if they're listening to us today.
Yeah, that would be a great place.
Mindy, and are you accessible, you know, most of the day? And do you have a phone number we can reach you at?
I do. 541-574-2995.
2995.
And that's the PATA office.
Okay. Well, Mindy Baxter, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you, Casey.
And if you're listening to us today, remember, PATA.org to learn more about Teen Justice Panels. Thanks for your time and have a great
day. News Talk 1310 AM and 98.3 FM, KNPT, and streaming live at knptam.com.
If you live on the Oregon coast or if you're just visiting, you're invited to stop by The Landing, a beautiful resort-style condominium hotel in Newport. See what they have to offer. 1 and 2 bedroom units, kitchens, gas fireplace, and a fantastic view of Yuquina Bay. The Landing at the east end of Newport's historic bayfront.
Brigadier General Julie A. Benz was honored by the 77th Oregon Legislative Assembly at the state capitol yesterday with the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 11. The House measure recognized her for being the first female Brigadier General in the Oregon Army National Guard. Her promotion to Brigadier General in 2011 came with her assignments as the Director of Strategic Capabilities Policy on the National Security Staff in the Executive Office of the President. She was responsible for writing presidential policy, coordinating interagency dialogue, informing presidential budgetary decisions, and building consensus on interagency